Actually, I'm happy to see so many people on a Tuesday night. I'm thankful to God that you decided that there's something better to do than just staying at home. Gives us someone to preach to. Believe me, we have enough of preaching to empty seats. We start off on a new mission, on a new mission field, and sometimes even in the summer times, I don't know if it's here too, but in the summer times, it's slim picking sometimes. And sometimes it's just me, my wife, and kids. Sometimes last time my parents were gone, and it was just us. And praise the Lord, hey, two or three. It was five of us, so he was there. Praise the Lord. So these mission conferences are very interesting, unique, and amazing. But having so many preachers during a week, somebody's bound to steal something from somebody. Somebody's bound to take, if not the whole message, at least half of it. I've done that to my dad right before me. I actually stole the entire message, and I saw him scrambling while I was preaching. He was scrambling, trying to figure out what he was going to say, because I stole the entire message that he had prepared. So I don't know how he did it, but he came up with something at the last moment. So I'm going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6. So I'm going to give you a different perspective that I saw. So it's not a complete, the passage will be the same, but the perspective and some points that I have, that I hope it will be a blessing. I hope you'll just bear with me and see how what blessings can come out for you. So actually, before we get into the message, I Brother Brent was saying about Olsztyn. Olsztyn is a small town, about the size that we had before in Torun, about 220,000 people. So it's not a metropolitan at all, but it's a nice little town, and we really have come to enjoy the people there, and we have quite a nice group of people. The Lord is doing something with young people in that city. We have two young men who started coming out, I would say about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. These young men, and I mean young men, I mean they were at that time, I think, both 16 or 17. And I guess they had been online, and they've been working and hearing. One of the brothers told me that he heard some preacher on YouTube, and who was talking about the gospel, and through that he got saved. And then he witnessed to his friend Igor. So the first brother's Richard, so Richard, and then he witnessed to his friend Igor, and they started just meeting with each other, trying to encourage each other. And Igor also got saved through that. And so they were just together in this little city, and they're like, are there anybody else like this, like us, in this city? So they used ChatGPT. They punched in home churches, or nice, friendly churches, Christian, non-Catholic, in my city, and search. Our church was the first one that popped up. Address and everything. They clicked on it. They said, oh, that looks friendly. They're smiling. They checked out our YouTube. Oh, they actually... Oops. That didn't work. Sorry about that. Excuse me?
You don't want to hear that one.
Yeah. It's okay. Something's got bound to happen. Just keep us humble.
True.
Something's bound to happen. It's okay. So anyway, so this brother, he decided that he really wanted to meet with the church. And he came out, him and his friend, and we at that moment friend, but they came out, and they've been with us ever since. They just got baptized.
Thank you, Lord.
This past summer, it got finally warm enough in the lake, and they said, we want to get baptized in the lake. We don't want to get it baptized in the pool or anything. We want it in the lake. And the other brother was like, I don't want to get baptized in the lake. There's too many people there. He was like, ah. So no, but they both got baptized. It was a real blessing. And God is really doing something with the young people there. There's a group of young people that meet together in that city once a month. About 60 of them from all around Olsztyn. about 3 or 4 different cities and areas, and they just come together from different churches, different backgrounds, and just come together and they just fellowship. They sing, and they we're trying to get them to bring in some good preachers. I was invited once, and it was really enjoyable seeing that all these young people wanting to learn, and they just swallowed it up. They were just wanting to learn. It's just amazing. So pray for that city. Pray for the young people there. God is really doing something. So I really pray that that something great will come out of that. So definitely pray for Igor. His mom actually is coming. His mom and his little sister, they come quite faithfully. She's not saved yet, but he witnesses to her mom, to his mom, and Rishad's parents came first Sunday. They decided not for us, but we're happy he's going somewhere. So they don't make a big deal about it. They don't stop him, but pray for them. They really have a burden to see, and they really want to see people get saved, and they're actually on their own going evangelizing sometimes. They get together, they meet at the mall, and they just go around talking to people. Hey, I want to talk to you about God. Do you have a chance? Do you have a moment? They're incredible. Just really, really amazing. So just pray for them that they continue on. And you know how the devil is. He's going to try to steal something and destroy something. So, all right. In our passage, like I said before, we're in Nehemiah 6. I'm just read the first 4 verses, and I'm just want to pick out a few phrases from this passage that really were a blessing to me, that helped me understand certain aspects. Starting from verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, then that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." So, just to get past the introduction, Nehemiah is in a very difficult position. His enemies are trying to stop him from carrying out and finishing a work. They're trying to stop him. You know, and if you've read it, you know that Sanballat really, really looks like the devil. He sounds like the devil, he looks like the devil, and he's really trying his hardest to stop and discourage the work. And we have the devil who is trying to discourage us on a daily basis. Nehemiah's dedication and service are a powerful testimony to us of what a true servant of God should be occupied with doing, building and doing a great work for the Lord. That's what he wanted to do. So Satan and his followers and all those around him, so Sanballat, I'm sorry, are always trying to persuade God's servants to come down off the wall. So that's my title of the message is stay on the wall. What he's trying to do is for Nehemiah to come down. You know, he wants you to stop what you're doing. The devil wants you to stop preaching.
True.
The devil wants you to stop building. The devil wants you to stop being a testimony. The devil wants you to stop following the Lord. He'll do anything for you to just stop and do what I want you to do. He just wants that. He wants you to stop what you're doing. I'll figure out something else, but just stop what you're doing and then come with me. I have something better to offer. That's what he's trying to do. So just if you just bear with me, I have a few things, 4 simple things I'd like to share with you. What would happen if we come down off the wall? First thing, we neglect God's work. Second thing, we leave the right path. Third, we abandoned our testimony, and 4, we give up our concern for the lost. So there's these 4 quick things, if I may, just start off from verse 3, the beginning of verse 3, it says, and I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. Oh, he goes, I can't come down, I'm doing a great work.
Amen.
Man, that's a great work, right? Building a wall for Jerusalem, the mighty Jerusalem, I'm doing a great work. Man, I can't stop what I'm doing. I don't care. There's no breaks. I'm not giving you a second of my day. I'm second of my time. I'm doing a great work. And it's a great work. Every work done for the Lord is a great work. I don't care what you're doing. If that's cleaning the bathrooms, or if that's standing in the pulpit, or if that's going outside, meeting with people, that's a great work. if you're doing with the right attitude for the right reason. It's a great work. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Labor doesn't sound like it's a lot of fun, does it? People say, how was work? Work. Yeah, not everybody can play soccer or play basketball and get paid for doing it. That's fun. But you know what? They still work, even those people. They gotta practice, they gotta exercise, they gotta be disciplined. They just can't go out and go eat whatever they wanna eat like some of us do. What? Right? They have discipline, they gotta work at whatever they have to do. It's work. It's just not all fun and games, which is usually what we want. We want fun and games. But it's work. You know, another good work is working for our families. You know, Nehemiah said, and if you go back to chapter 4, Nehemiah 4, just one passage back, verse 14. I love this passage, right? Read Nehemiah, verse 14 is like one of those key aspects. He said, And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Fight for your brethren. Fight, build, do something, work. Man, that's just incredible. That's a good work to be doing, a fighting for your family.
Amen. That's right.
We gotta fight for our families. We can't be complacent and just say, you know what? I'll go down and I'll go talk with you and I'll see what's up. We cannot. The devil will use every single inch that you give and he'll take more. He doesn't want just you to come down. He wants everything. He wants you to stop. He wants your family. He wants your life. He wants you to just not be productive for God anymore. Our families are under attack. More so these days than ever before. The internet. Brethren, if you have little children, don't let them have full access. That's a danger, and the devil will use it and abuse it, and you...
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Satan will always try to get you to come down from your wall. The Bible says, submit yourselves before, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Resist the devil. Say no. Say no. You're not getting this. No, you're not doing that. No, I am not giving you anything. You've already taken enough.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I'm tired of having the devil have satisfaction. And too often we give him way too many opportunities to be satisfied. And we should be fighting more, working more, concentrating on what's important, staying on that wall, not coming down. We gotta stay on that wall, brethren. The work of the Lord is too important for us to neglect. You know, sometimes the Lord's work is difficult. Remember Peter and the other disciples when they're fishing all night? What did they do? What happened? They caught nothing. Working and working all night and you catch nothing. Have you been like that, trying to win souls? Weeks and months and years and you catch nothing. Lord, what am I doing? It's difficult. I don't know if am I in the right place. There should be fish here. It's a lake. It's a sea. There's water. There should be something down there, but I'm catching nothing. What am I doing wrong? And the Lord says, cast it on the other side. Okay. All right. All right, and what happens? Oh, my goodness gracious, the blessings. If we just keep on keeping on, if we just keep our eyes on the Lord and say, you know what, I'm staying on this wall until something happens. Something's bound to happen, and I want to be there to see it. If I get off the wall, I will lose it, and I will not see it, and the benefits and the blessings will just pass me by. Because I decided to listen to what the devil had to say, and I came down off that wall. Galatians 6:9 is a really incredible passage. Galatians 6:9, if we turn with me, please. I gotta speed up, I know, but I'll get you out of here before 11. A.M. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's been a hard verse for me lately. If we faint not. It's a hard thing to keep on and push on when you're hurting. Things are not going as great as they could be or should be. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Amen. It's a good job to do. We have a reward if we faint not. Brethren, that's a word of encouragement. I'm speaking to myself as much as to you. We need this. We need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged if we faint not. And Brother Matt was talking about building the church. It's a good thing to build. We want to build something that lasts. Oh, not something that's temporary. Not this building. This building is nothing compared to what the Lord is building, His church, the real church, the people in it, all over in Mexico and in Poland and here. We want to see something built. It's a good work. So don't come off that wall, because it's a good work. It's a necessity. We have to stay on that wall. Amen. And if you come down, second thing I'd like to go back, if we go back to our passage, he says here in our passage in verse 3, he says, in Nehemiah, wrong place, Nehemiah 5, verse 3, he says, and I sent him, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. He didn't say, I shouldn't come down. I really want to, but I shouldn't. He didn't say, you know what, it's a thought, but, you know, I'm, give me a couple days. No, he says, I cannot, straight up. I cannot give you anything. I cannot. I know what happens. I know who you are. I know what you want to do. I cannot do that to you. I cannot. Do not have my interest at heart. The devil does not have our interest at heart. He does not care. Oh, he may show it. He may think it. He may just hide it. But he doesn't have our interest at heart. Nehemiah gave 100% of himself to the Lord. He said, I'm staying right here. This is where the Lord called me. This is where I'm staying. I am staying on the wall. I am staying right here. Going down would have meant lowering himself to their level. He said, I don't want to do that. God put me here for a reason. It's a great work. I'm staying right here. Coming down meant turning from God's path and His plan. And we come down off our walls, we turn away from the path of the righteousness that God has called us to do. God has called us to walk in the right path. And in Proverbs it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee froward mouth, means how the bad things, the words, the things you say, and perverse lips put far from thee. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to us. He's talking to Christians. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Man, God has called us on a right path. And if we come down, we decide, you know what, that path is not right, Lord, and I think I have a better idea. Let's not do that. Stay on that wall. Oh, I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. But stay up on there. Don't listen to what the devil has to say. Don't listen to what he's trying to get you to believe. God desires us to obey His commands and serve Him faithfully, joyfully, and effectively if we faint not and do what we're supposed to be doing. One more thing I can say about the coming down off that wall when it comes to I cannot is another way of compromising with the world. Oh, compromise. Oh, that's great when it comes to married life. You gotta compromise. You gotta figure out how to compromise, I knew of a missionary who came to Poland, and he brought to Poland all his tapes and books and everything galore that he was precious to him, but made his wife sell all her things. Get rid of all her things. All the things, the heirlooms that she got from her mom and grandma and all, he said, get rid of it. That wasn't very wise. She didn't last, I think, no more than a month in Poland. And they turned right around and went right back home. Compromise in marriage or whatever, that's different. But compromise with the world? I do not suggest that. Do not compromise with the world. Do not give it an inch. Ecumenical movement is also one of those big issues that we have in Poland where they say, oh, we're all brethren, we're all the same, we all preach the same Jesus. No, we don't. Sorry. Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, we're not brethren. I'm sorry, I am not going down that road. No. Israel quickly compromised, didn't they, when Moses delayed on the mountain? How quickly they compromised by building a golden calf. How quickly they forgot. How quickly they got down off that wall just because they were a little bit scared. How many times are we compromising with the world, brethren? How many times we say, okay, I'll come down, but only if. Okay, I'll come down, but you have to do. No. What did Nehemiah say? I cannot come down. I cannot. I will not. It's a decision I've made. I'm staying where I'm at. God put me here. I cannot come down. The third thing, we abandon our testimony in verse 3, toward the end of that. Not only did he say, I cannot come down, he says, why should the work cease? Wow. Why should the work cease? Nehemiah held a place of great influence and respect among the people. Him coming down from the wall would have affected everyone around him. Oh, look. He's coming down off the wall. The work is done. We can go home. Why should the work cease? Because he knows if I stop, everybody's going to stop. And I know. We know how it is. Oh, it's easy. Oh, quitting time. Oh, we love quitting time, don't we? Or break time. Oh, we love that when it's quitting time. Work is done. No, it's not done. Not until Christ comes back or until we're in the grave. The work is not done. His coming down would have affected a lot of people. All Israel looked at him as a leader. His decision would have influenced many, many other people around him. If he came down, man, we can too. No. We must be careful on how we live and the decisions we make. There are people around us who look and are watching us. You may not see yourself as a leader or as somebody important, but I can guarantee you, if you are a Christian, if you are a professed Christian believer, and you'd say anything in that regard, you are going to be watched. Especially if you have children at home. I don't know, coworkers, somebody around you. There are people that your decisions and things you do and things you say and how you react are going to have an effect on them. We cannot just think of ourselves and like, oh, well, I'm tired. I'm just going to do what I want to do. No, there are people around. Younger believers and young people are watching us. If you come down from the wall, it's quite possible that the others may follow suit and say, you know what? I'm tired too. I also want to come down from the wall. We should pray that God help us walk in His straight path. Pray that God gives us strength to stay on the wall. We cannot do it alone. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And we say, Lord, I need your strength to stay on that wall. I don't know how I'm going to do it. There are days when you say, I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Right.
It's hard. I'm tired. I want to just say, you know what? I quit. What would happen if a person like Nehemiah said, I quit? Oh, man. The work would cease, he says. The work would cease. Now, I don't think he's bragging. I don't think he's saying, you know, I'm so important. Without me, nothing's going to get done. I think he's realizing I have an important role and I need to be be here to help. I need to be here to make sure that it's done because I have the vision. Not everybody does. And I need to keep it up because I need everybody to do this job. It's a great work, he's saying. I need this to continue. I want this to continue. Sometimes it's hard to pass on the vision to others. That's one of the hardest things of building a church. Is can you get my vision? Can you see where I'm trying to lead you, what I'm trying to teach you, what I want from you? I want you to see the vision. And if they don't get it, it's not going to work. Because you want so badly for them to continue on. And they're like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So he's saying, I can't come down. Why should the work cease? Those outside the city were also watching what's going on. One wrong step could have ruined Nehemiah's credibility. What does the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians 5:22? We can look at that. I doubt I'm going to get a lot of amens out of this verse, but it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes truth hurts, doesn't it? Truth hurts. One of the hardest things that sometimes young people forget about, not just open sin, but these things that just look like sin. What does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Yeah.
All appearance of evil. Not evil, but appearance of evil. I mean, you gotta be careful. People are watching, and if you do something and it just looks wrong. Oh, you could have the best intent. You could be saying, I'm going into this house, closing the door, and praying with this lady. Right. And all your neighbors are thinking that. That's what they're thinking. Oh, they're just praying. This is a Bible study. Yeah, no. We got to be careful. There are people around who are watching and looking and seeing, and you just compromise one moment. You slip up, and it's a huge thing. And Nehemiah is saying, I cannot. Why should the work cease? We need to avoid even things that appear wrong to others. So you ask yourself some questions. How do I behave at work? How am I behaving? Am I coming off the wall at work, but I'm standing back on the wall at church?
Amen.
I come to church and I'm on the wall. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I sing the songs and I know the lingo and everything's great. But when I get to work, I come right down off that wall.
Amen.
And I'm right among them. And I just, telling dirty jokes. And, you know, just laughing at everything. And just like, yeah, of course, I'm right with you. Oh, no. What kind of an example are we?
Amen.
How do I speak to members of the opposite sex? What kind of jokes do I tell outside the church? What's my behavior? What am I doing? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men. It has been mentioned, this verse. It's a great verse. That they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
Are people looking at us and saying, I glorify the Lord because that brother, that person is a true and honest Christian. He says what he believes and he lives what he believes on a daily basis. Oh, I wish we could say that. I wish that would be something that people say when they look at us. And I'm pretty sure we, as a church, I don't want to just keep on harping as if you're the worst sinners in the world. But we are. That's what Paul said, didn't he say?
Amen.
Didn't he say, I am the worst? He said, I am the chiefest of sinners. He didn't say, oh, I'm not bad. No matter how much we do, we can still do more. First Peter 2:12. can open that up, please. 1 Peter 2:12. This is a great verse for those of us thinking about the unbelievers around us. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you or as evil doers, speak against you as evil doers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles are not really going to look and say, you know, and tell the truth. They're going to lie. They lie a lot. They lie about what's going on. But he says that whereas they speak evil, they speak against you as evil doers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. One of these days, God's going to say, I sent you a person to your door. I had a Christian in your work. You knew about him. You lied. You disrespected him. You put him down. You just did everything you could to just destroy him. And he kept on loving. He kept on preaching. He kept on sharing. He kept on. And you did nothing. Well, that's for us to keep on doing the good work. Just keep on doing. Stay on that wall. Keep serving the Lord. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. The Bible says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Wow, that would be amazing that we could be this kind of light. As Brother Billy was talking about being the light, being that city on the hill, being visible, being seen. Stay on the wall and keep serving the Lord. Amen. Remember the disciples who stopped following Christ? I think they got down off that wall. It was too hard for them to continue on. It was too shameful. They didn't understand, so they said, you know what, we're done. I'm going home. Are you going to get off the wall? You know, there are a lot of people who've been here and they got off the wall. They decided it's not worth it. A lot of people have come and gone. And they got off the wall. What are you going to do when it gets hard? What are you going to do when life throws you a curveball? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, I give up? Or are you going to say, I'm staying on the wall? I'm going to stay right where I'm at. This is where God put me. I have a work to do.
Amen.
I need to finish the work. And the last thing, real quick, we give up our concern for the lost when we get down from off the wall. Jerusalem was a city known throughout the world. It was a great city, the city of David, where God was worshipped and adored, lifted up. It was a light in the midst of darkness. And Nehemiah in chapter 2 says something incredible when it comes to that city, the great city. I'll just, real quick, it says, he says, come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem. Come, let us build up the walls. They're burnt, they're destroyed. Let's do something. That city is amazing. I want to do something for the Lord. Nehemiah wanted to rebuild that wall, that rebuild it, what had been destroyed, so that God would once again be glorified and magnified in that city where he once was. So coming down from the wall could have destroyed all that he had accomplished. And that whole process could have been lost. And those dying around, they probably would not have continued on. And as Corey said, that city is still there. Those walls are still there today. It was a good work. He did a good job. They're still there. If we believers come down from the wall, we abandon the lost. We say, they are not worth anymore my time. You may be saved. You may have your ticket to heaven. You may say, I'm done. And you come down off the wall. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? Live for yourself? There's nothing in that. We have a job to do. It's a great work. We can't cease the job. We can't cease working. We can't do that. We cannot come down. Few believers do that. What message would Nehemiah have sent if he had come down? You know what's interesting about this passage? I came across this, you know, just thinking about it. When he says about the gates, he says in verse 1, that, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein. In other words, there were no gaps, no holes. Everything was patched up. It was nice. He said, but though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Do you know what that means to me? That city was still open for people to come in. Oh, the gate, there were no breaches, but the door was open. I'm thinking, who is the door? Who is the only one who can save? The door was open. Oh, there was a gate, but there was a door open. There were still people could come in and get saved. The doors are still open for the lost to come in. You and I are the light of the world. We cannot cease to work. We cannot come down from off our walls. We cannot let the devil destroy and discourage. And that's what he tries to do. He tries to discourage and tries to make us think and doubt that what we're doing is not worth it. Oh, it's worth it. Stay on your wall. Keep up there. Keep going. Keep pushing on. It's hard. Yes, keep going. You will be blessed. You will see something amazing. And Nehemiah saw it and he was blessed and he said, I cannot come down. I will not come down. I'm staying right where I'm at. I know what you have for me is nothing good. You want my hurt? I'll tell you right now, there's nothing better than keep on following the Lord, because he started there. Keep it up. Amen. Keep it up. Amen. May the Lord bless you.